inside our commitment to listener. There we go. They got it fixed. So this is Iacocca Teleclass 1. So those are the ground rules and sort of etiquette. We're looking for dinner table conversation, not a hub and spoke. So, you know, to the extent possible, join in and make sure we're all participating. So for this first section, I want to just orient ourselves back to the program. I know we went over it a few times during the actual class, but want to make sure everyone's familiar with their implementation plan, what they're expected to do each week, et cetera. So with that, on weekly practices, you know, I got a couple posts last week about starting their weekly focusing. That's one of the top weekly practices. That's something you'll check out on each of the weeks, right? Does anybody want to go through sort of what the process of weekly focusing was like for them?
This is Peter. I'll go ahead. I'm already pretty familiar with weekly focusing because I went through HPP and I've gone through attention management. Usually what I'll do is I'll spend some time on Friday at the end of the week in preparation of a Monday weekly meeting that I do with the buying team. So what I'll do is I'll review purchases, I'll review sales, and I'll put some wins, put some losses, and really just get prepared for a Monday meeting and have everything lined up so I can communicate that with the purchasing team.
Okay. Are you finding that it's easy to hold the time on your weekly focusing?
I find it easy to hold a time. The challenge that I've had thus far, and I haven't really been conscious of it until we just started this program, is that there's a lot of distractions that come up, a lot of phone calls that will come up either from transporters that are coming to pick up cars or trade appraisals that are needing to be done, all sorts of issues that pop up, and what we haven't really done and established are some ground rules for those meetings. So that is a challenge that I've faced, but now that I'm a little bit more conscious of it, it'll be easier for me to set some ground rules for those meetings.
Perfect. Yep. I appreciate you sharing. You know, the next kind of weekly practice, and we're going to revisit all of this again. I just want to kind of orient to the top section of that implementation plan first. The next weekly practice is the structural meetings. And we got a lot of information on structural meetings from you guys posting. Does anybody want to share an insight or just an experience that they had that might have been different than what they expected?
This is Ramon. You know, I had spoken, I had established a structural meeting with my parks team, and prior to going into the meeting, I kind of planted a seed in terms of, you know, what it is that I was noticing and what I felt we needed to discuss, and I challenged the guys to come into the meeting. You know, prepare it with some things that they wanted to discuss and some of the things that they saw. And so we set the time, we met, closed the door, and I told them, you know, when you come in, you know, no interruptions, let's just focus and let's just talk. And, you know, we sat down and we discussed some ways to make the department more efficient, and then we discussed some things that, you know, some vital behaviors, some personal vital behaviors that distract from us being productive in the parks department. Through that, I gained a lot of value personally as their leader of some things that were derailing them from being successful and also derailing our team overall. And I actually came out of that structural meeting pretty jazzed. We established a follow-up. I see the value in that, and so now I'm able to go back and able to communicate with them on another level because I understand some of the things that are distracting them and some of the things that are making them successful. So I gained a lot of value from that.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. You know, it's interesting. So as you're starting to surface a lot of the key things, the insights that you wanted from your team, it kind of brings me to the next part of that weekly practice, which is a dynamic agenda. Have you had an opportunity to introduce the dynamic agenda to the team or to hold the space, you know, to keep track of all of these insights that you're getting?
At this point, again, this is Ramon, I was looking at how to integrate the dynamic agenda, and when would be the perfect time to do so. Since I gained so much success, or what I felt success, from holding that structural meeting, as well as I did one with, you know, my leadership guys on Wednesday, I wanted to establish, you know, separate my teams out based off of how they participate and how they contribute into recon. And then after I hold one structural meeting with the whole group, you know, individual, but the whole group in recon, I was going to introduce the dynamic agenda based off of some of the takeaways from those structural meetings so that we have something to build on.
Great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how that helps you sort of drive this forward, and especially kind of giving them leverage to know what the next steps are and bring it to you in a way that kind of gives you leverage. Who else? I know we had another experience on the e-journals about sort of using the dynamic agenda. Does anybody else want to share how it's helped or even just how what role it played in the structural meeting? Brandy, I think you had a question about dynamic agendas, correct, in structural meetings?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Well, what had happened was, can you all hear me?
Fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Steve was using a template during my weekly meeting with him. Is that the one that is the one, right, that has, like, imperative, yes, initiative,
yeah,
et cetera? And so, basically, he was using that as the template for the things that we had discussed in a previous meeting and the things that we would, you know what I mean, like an ongoing, basically, you know, bullet point list or whatever, to kind of know where what our next steps were, the notes, and what was owed. And so I didn't go into the meeting with that, and then we actually had something that I didn't follow up on time, and it was something like that I hadn't written down as the same thing that he had written down. So I was like, I wonder if I should just take that exact same template into the meeting and make sure we have the same thing coming out. You know, I just didn't know if anyone used that template when they actually, like, in the meeting process, like, if both people need to use the template or you copy it afterwards or whatever so that I could see what Steve has, you know, written down as, you know, the imperative or whatever his notes are. You know, his follow-up notes are sometimes different than what my follow-up notes are. So
it's a great question. Anybody want to chime in or offer an opinion?
Go ahead.
So one thing I was going to add is, would it be better even if between Steve and I we kept that digital, you know, like where, like, one of us updated it after the meeting and then we could always tell what was kind of going on, the whole dynamic aspect of it, maybe? So
yeah,
that's kind of a thought.
Well, I'll let who's going to speak? Go ahead.
This is Doug. I would in the structural meeting that I conducted, I also sent out a copy of the template to the participants that were going to join in. And so I would think that would still apply if we're using the dynamic. But, I mean, that's just my personal take on it.
Yeah. You know, the answer sort of lies where the functional need is met, right? So I'll give you an example of how we use it here at Stake and how I've traditionally used it with clients. It's worked, but it's certainly not the only way, and you got to make sure we adapt. I want to make sure I emphasize and stress the fact that all of these things need to be adapted to what your situation is, right? to make sure that it actually has maximum applicability. So what we typically do is we have a dynamic agenda that's electronic. It's held in a central location, so anybody can access it who needs to access it. Now, that means that, you know, the right permissions, et cetera, are in place, but, you know, if you and Steve, for instance, have a shared folder on your network, store it there, and then that allows you both to update and sort of work the same file as you need. And then when you go into the meeting, only one of you needs to have it up, but ideally you have it up in electronic format so you can make adjustments real time. You can make next steps, and you can filter and refilter. Does that make sense?
Yes, because that's actually the what makes it dynamic, correct? Is that we can, it's a living, breathing document that he and I could, like I got some items on the agenda, he put some items on the agenda, maybe we decide to table some when we get into the meeting, you know, or
absolutely.
Whatever, but, okay.
Is that something you guys have, Rupert, this is Steve, is that something you guys have set up, or is that something we just need to create ourselves, and it's what you have isn't?
We have the Excel template, and I believe it's on the jump drive as one of the tools, but if it's not, we can help you set that up.
But we'd have to have Keith set up a shared, I mean, he set up a shared drive, but we just need a separate folder that has permissions on it, which...
Yeah, so that week, I think we would need someone inside, you know, Trevor Select to set up, but, you know, that's pretty easy to do once you get the right sort of administrator to work on it. I will address the fact that, you know, a dynamic agenda working from paper still works, and sometimes it's required because you just don't have the laptop, you don't have the ability to go and, you know, bring your stuff with you. And in that situation, what I would suggest is if you're going to use a paper copy of the dynamic agenda, select one person as the scribe or the recorder of whatever adjustments and things that need to be made. Not too unlike what we did in the actual advanced execution workshop when we needed to have just one copy of all people's input. That way you're kind of controlling the versions, right? And that one person can make the updates later at their computer and then send it back out to the group and say, hey, here's the latest grade. But, you know, if you can start from electronic grade, but it works just as well in paper, just make sure you're managing who's got control.
Yeah, so our main thing is we need, and I think Doug knows more about this, I think Keith did start to set up a shared, because we've done a lot of stuff on Google Drive.
Well, we do have a shared drive. However, when I was talking with Jeff and for the usage that I was going to use it for, he thought it would be better to have it in Google Docs. Am I correct, Jeff?
I think the key here is what Ruth just spoke about is each situation is different. Do what's right for your particular meeting, and as long as you're using it, some situations are right for paper form. Others, in your case, docs is the best thing does because of you, the audience you're working with, giving them access. You know, use the appropriate vehicle. You know, the vehicle, to my mind, shouldn't get in the way of the
I'm wondering, Jeff, if we can use it for the structural, for the weekly structural meeting with the leadership, where if we can go into a Google Doc and we can all update our own information as opposed to sending it to you, having you download all the changes, sending it back out to the group. I'm wondering if it'd be easier for people just to update it online and where everybody can access it.
Well, I think even whether it's easy or not, sorry, it's Brandy, but I am the only woman, so hopefully y'all can tell it's my voice. What I also like about the idea of the dynamic agenda for the weekly meeting existing is just refreshing myself. If I want to prepare for the Tuesday meeting on Friday during my personal weekly planning time, I could go look, and it may not be the most up-to-date, but it'd be pretty close as to what, maybe not the KPIs, but as to what the agenda of the meeting, you know, would be. So, you know, it, obviously changes get made on maybe on Monday and stuff, but it would kind of help if I did have a follow-up item or something like that from the management meeting. you know, to have that visible throughout the week.
Yeah. So for something like a leadership team meeting, I would, you know, Steve's suggestion seems to be pretty point with respect to just having all of you guys being able to update it independently because of the different work streams you're going to be working on and how it ties back to the 2x2. And this will only get more intense as we go on through the 52 weeks. So having a good rhythm of what you guys want to use and how you want to use it now will help dramatically later. It also helps hold accountability with, you know, some of your junior team members who might not always be on top of their agenda of things like you would want them to. So. Next topic, and we'll continue to come back to these in a little bit here, but within the weekly practices, e-journal postings, you guys have been, you know, my basic feedback, by the way, here is that you guys have been great on the posting. You know, you're getting your points out. They're juicy. There's a lot of discussion, so I genuinely appreciate that. Anybody want to speak to the experience of just sort of posting when maybe they didn't necessarily want to or it's not natural for them to?
This is Aaron. Roop, I'll speak to that. I think for me it's not a natural practice for me to spend a whole lot of time putting my thoughts out there for a group. So it's a new practice, but I do think that already I had a couple of responses that really did help me think through some of the issues I floated out there. But I definitely see the value in it.
Awesome, yeah. You know, with e-journal postings, when I went to the ILP myself, I struggle with e-journal posting, right? And I think from time to time, you guys may even experience that a little bit due to 52 weeks. But there's a level of vulnerability you got to just be okay with to get your thoughts out and get your insights out. And so, you know, each post is not – I just, you know, I genuinely appreciate everybody's post because I understand sort of what it takes to actually do it. For some of you, it might just be really easy, which is awesome. For some of you, it might be a little bit of a struggle, which I just want to continue to encourage the activity, especially as these 52 weeks go on, subject matter is going to get tougher and it's going to go faster. And it's going to be easy to sort of recline back away from the e-journal posting, but that's where a lot of the meat gets discussed. So I want to continue to encourage it. And then finally, on our weekly practices, we have teleclass. So this is the first teleclass. All of you guys are present. We get the checkbox for the week of 2-2, which is great. Not all of them will be as administrative as this one in terms of just looking at structure, looking at all of the things on the implementation plan. But I certainly appreciate you guys sloshing through the administrative side first. So that being said, let's jump into some of the materials. These are just kind of short answer. If you get it, by all means, throw it out there. But what are the two main components of personal productivity that we covered in the workshop?
Was one of them time bought or? No, sorry.
So the first one I'll throw it out there is Outlook email rules and folders. Have you guys all set up your folder rules?
Yes.
Yes. This is Doug, yes.
Yeah. Who hasn't set up
email rules? This is Steve. I set up that CC folder, and it's worked like a champ. I don't get near the emails I used to get. That's been the best thing come for me.
Awesome. Good. Who else has set up or who hasn't set up their email folders? Not to publicly shame you, but just curious.
This is Vance. I set up mine, and I have quite a few just from different banks. And one of the things I also did, I committed to all my lenders that I would follow up with any emails at a everyday time. That way, they could expect me to get back to them at the same time every day, to where they understand I'm not ignoring them, but I will follow up and answer their questions. But I'm having some issues with that because, you know, in some cases where it's really, really urgent, you know, I then have to take some time out and go and maybe spend, you know, 45 minutes to an hour really trying to, you know, gather some information for them. And I see it really does interrupt my day. So that's just kind of been a challenge on how I could maybe get through that a little bit easier, because the first part of it went really well with, you know, putting out fires and knowing I'm going to handle them at a certain time every day. But I do notice I'm getting a lot more phone calls saying, like, hey, I really need you to do this right now if you can. I need to get this up.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of. So
do you think they're doing phone calls just because they know that you're going to only respond within a certain time and they would just rather you respond now? Or is it actually urgent matters that they're now kind of getting trained to call you if it's really urgent, otherwise shoot an email?
It's urgent matters to them, so they do call me. You know, it may not be that urgent to me, but, you know, that it is to them, so I respect it. So they do sit there and give me the phone call. Or I notice if they give me a phone call and I answer, say, yes, I'm planning on getting to it at this time, I should be able to get back to you. The issue may be so urgent, well, they'll reach out to one of my team members to try to get them to handle the situation. And then my team members at that point, will they come to me and ask me to handle the situation because they might not be able to. They might not have the information that I have.
Gotcha. Interesting. Go ahead. Brandy, go ahead.
Is it bad urgent instead of depending on email? Because I'd actually rather someone call me when it's urgent. I'm just putting that out there, so that I don't feel like my email is a knee-jerk reaction, like I have to, you know, I don't know, be trained to keep watching it.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate the phone call, but in some cases it seems like almost like a little kid tugging on you, like, hey, can you get this done? Hey, please get this done for me. Hey, can you please get this done when I've already committed to time to do it? So, like I said, it's really one of those things where it's not that urgent to me at the time. I know I'm going to get to it, and I plan on getting to it, and I want to be as effective as I can be by giving it, you know, my full attention. But by them asking me to jump on it immediately sometimes, whenever I may not be able to give it my full attention, they may not get, you know, everything they were looking for. But to the bank reps, like I said, it becomes one of those things where they're almost impatient, so then they start reaching out to other team members, and I mentioned to them, I communicated, I'm not ignoring you, I just want to set this up and give you guys my full attention and make sure I could execute this, you know, with everything I have here. So it's just been something. I mean, I just kind of been going through it, and, you know, I'm working with my banks on, you know, making sure I'm communicating with them, and really, I think it's just, you know, educating, you know, my environment on, you know, what I'm trying to do here. And how this could be a benefit to all of us.
Hey, it's Eric. What I wanted to ask you, the challenge, I've got the email segmented, and I'm practicing what we did about, you know, not responding to the emails one at a time, but having a dedicated time during the day a couple of times to go respond. Where I find it time challenging is when to respond and when not to respond, because some of these emails, there's like a 7-piece thread. And I keep feeling that I have to go back and respond to the thread piece that I responded to an hour ago. Does that make sense?
Meaning you're having to rehash?
Yeah, well,
something
you've
just said.
It doesn't matter that on these emails, it can be, I don't know, just pick something real simple. Clean inventory on the front lot, and I'm just throwing that out there. And then you'll end up getting 6 people on the CC, and then you'll get almost like an e-journal email going with 17 pieces of thread. And I need to not respond to some of it, but it just keeps continually going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're just building a bigger and bigger conversation thread about the same subject.
It's not the eat turtle, but it's just one email on some thought that you might want to be taken care of or whatever, and it turns out to be like a brainstorming session, and then the thread continues. The next thing you know, you've got seven lines of separate emails, people going back and forth with different ideas. That's the challenge for me, is to not get involved in some of this stuff, and I feel like I have to respond, and that's where I was challenged last week.
Yeah, I can understand the need or the desire to jump into the email chain, but if you don't have to, maybe that's one of the weekly practices you can start to actually focus on. Outside of that,
being the head of sales, so some of it's not important, but some of it's hypercritical, and it's in the folder, and then you see the numbers, so you got to click on the number to see, hey, let me see what this is about, and that's where the challenge comes.
Yeah. That's that's one of those things that, does your team know that if it's an emergency or if it's something you absolutely have to respond to, they'll call you? How much of this is your desire to jump in once you see those numbers inflated on the email, like unread email, right?
Yeah.
Versus actually needing to validate the thread with a response. In the moment versus later.
50-50, because 90% of my day is so reactionary, just dealing
right
with my whirlwind and everything else.
Yeah, well, so this is a common theme that I'm seeing get posted even through the e-journal, which is this notion of what's an emergency, how does it surface in our respective worlds, and then how do we deal with it while we're trying to clear the space, right? In the huddles, you guys have talked about quite a few times where it's a 7 to 10 minute meeting, but nobody can stay focused because we're constantly getting calls. We're constantly getting disruptions, whether they're legitimate emergencies or not. This is very similar to what you're talking about, right? You're getting a bunch of emails. Some of them in some parts of your world are legitimate emergencies. Some of them aren't. And how do we start to make two different spaces for the emergencies versus the non-emergencies can respond later? I don't have an answer right now, but I do know that part of it is going to be focused on educating your environment on what they need to do. So that's, you know, your team, right? They've got to understand if there's an emergency, call me, et cetera. Sometimes it's external people. So if it's a bank and they just don't understand or they don't really care to understand, we've got to figure out how to make sure we address it without getting derailed. I'm kind of creating a list of things that I'd like Jay to kind of follow up on in the coaching sessions as well, because I don't think we're going to solve this today, but it's going to be a recurring issue. Does anybody have any thoughts on that, or am I misinterpreting the situation?
No, I mean, this is Aaron Rubin. Just to second all of that, I think it's a very universal theme here, and I'm glad you're picking up on that because, you know, just like Eric and Vance both said, one of my key questions is really, I mean, we work in open spaces, kind of in this common area where it's just, you've got that reactive zone of urgent demands, whether it's from banks, our own team members, our management needs, and our sales team. You know, in a given hour, 20 different things can come up, and it's constant. And so you're always reacting, and there are urgent demands, at least urgent to them, at least. And then it kind of infused with just constant interruptions. So for me, the hardest thing that I've seen so far already is just actually setting a time block and having an ability to keep it before 10 different fires come up.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. Two things that kind of sort of popped in my head when you were talking about that is, you know, in an open environment like that, how many of you guys have ever been to Poncho's? Poncho's used to be pretty popular back in the late 80s, early 90s here in Dallas. You know they have that. You know they have that flag.
When
you want more food,
raise it.
Exactly. So, is there a way you can educate your environment that basically says, "Look, when the flag's raised, you better have a very legitimate emergency to disrupt my time block." Right. The second part of that, though, is what do you think drives your teams desire to come to you for every emergency as opposed to coming to you with solutions and just getting verification, right? How do we continue to educate the team on how to handle some of these emergencies themselves? This is the crux of getting leverage from your team, right? Is that if they feel like they have to go to you with every single emergency, every single time, for every single decision, how do you legitimately expect to get any kind of time to yourself to go work on the business? Remember, we talked about this theme of skinning our knees. And I'm not asking you to throw your team out into the deep end immediately, because this will be an ongoing process over 52 weeks. But how do you slowly get them in a condition where they can go solve some of these emergencies for themselves, and you're now in the process of game filming with them about how the decision was made, where you went right, where you could have made a different choice, how do you do it better next time? And I don't have specific context for all the emergencies you guys face, but I do know some portion of those emergencies you guys face will be taken care of by simply teaching your team to fish on their own.
And this is Steve. I think a couple of things I have. One is trying to capture, keep a notepad or something, capture where you feel you're getting interrupted and what issues you're getting interrupted on. And maybe, to Ruth's point, you can go back and educate your environment on specific things. So if you have something about and something, you know, right away, and later on, then there might be better systems you can set up where, you know, we had this orange headphone that we got for some of the tribe where if we were, they were going to use them, if they had the headphones on, that means I'm in a meeting with myself. So no, so they would know that, okay, I need to go to Vance or Ashley or Mike if Aaron has the orange headphones on, because he's in a meeting with himself and he's working on something. So if it's a deal, you can set it up where they can go to other people for urgent issues. And if it's not, but I think you need to really try to capture what you're getting interrupted on so you know how to filter those things.
Okay.
You know, guys, like I said, I don't expect a lot of these things to be solved immediately, but they're going to be recurring themes. And the important thing is you're making inch-by-inch progress to make it better. And before you know it, over 52 weeks, you're going to have progress as you look back in retrospect, right? So bear in mind a time frame for which these things need to get solved, and just understand where your energy is coming from. Make sense?
Yeah, this is Brandy. I just wanted to say that I love the orange headphones idea, just because it's kind of a cultural fit, and it's you know, kind of obvious when someone's got headphones on, you know, because they're orange. When I was at the Wall Street Journal, they gave me a piece of, because I really needed time blocks to myself and it was a very open office environment, a piece of that caution tape, like the police line, do not cross. And when I had that up across the entrance to my, you know, desk area, it was like a, you know, seriously, do not bother me right now. And it was amazing how effective that was and how much people could put off and wait if they knew that they really needed to, if it was important.
Hey, Sarah, coming to a messy real quick. What you do have to realize, Brandy, is that you've got an office with a door. Steve's got an office with a door just off site. So those three, y'all three can, if you need time, you just pull the door and you guys are good. Where I'm going back to Aaron and what the world that we live in is our business is very help me now, help me now, help me now, and if you don't answer them, they will stand at your desk. And that's where
no,
the for us is gonna I'm just hang on, I'm talking. This is where it's where you gotta that's where you gotta just try to see it from our point of view a little bit, and that's the challenge we're trying to work through. I'm done.
No, I do not at all. I totally under. I mean, I was saying I used to work in an open office environment. I can't even put myself on the same level as what you're dealing with right now. That's for sure. That's why I was just going police caution tape. I don't know, but I know that I've watched it. I was upstairs for a little bit, and I couldn't function. So I totally get it.
Do you guys have landing offices? Kind of empty spaces that you can go into?
Yeah, there's some private places in here, but they're usually communal.
Right next to Brandy.
Yeah.
This is Jeff. Eric, something that you and the guys could also practice, just an idea, is that, you know, instead of feeling that whether it be email or a personal interruption, everyone's got to be reacted to at that time, to just start asking the question, is this urgent, or can I just, you know, get back to you in 15 minutes when I've finished this, whatever I'm doing? You know, this is my email time block or whatever it is, or you're finishing off, you know, scheduling or something, you know. And just if somebody says, look, it's really urgent, I've got a customer, you know, red hot on the phone, et cetera, then you can react to it. But in most times, the CEO would say, hey, look, no, you know, as long as you keep a note and you get back to them in 15 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour, whatever it is. But just by asking that question, you can sometimes get around and start to educate that behavior into the team.
Good point.
Just a thought.
I would adhere to the caution tape, Eric, if I saw it up. Or the orange headphones. I would not bother you.
You know, it's interesting. So I've added this to the coaching list, and Jay's going to do some of this coaching live at y'all's offices, I believe. I'm going to ask him to sort of follow up with sort of the space, just to try to understand it. I might actually come with him next time just to see, because I'm curious about how the space really impacts you guys. Because I'm getting a sense that there's a very, very distinct difference between the sales unit and the guys who have to deal with sort of open air versus everyone else who has a little bit more of a defined boundary. It's not impossible to solve. It's just got to find the right way to do it, right?
Agreed.
Yes.
It's added to the list. That was juicy. Thanks, guys. I kind of appreciate the deep dive there, especially with respect to sort of how do we establish these boundaries, and that's going to be a recurring theme. Just a quick check-in on sort of whether you guys read the materials or not. Can anybody define synchronous versus asynchronous communication?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Can you guys define synchronous versus asynchronous communication? Buried in the attention management modules.
I'm very guilty of using asynchronous when I need to be using synchronous, and that's something I continue to try to work on, is getting formats right. I tend to communicate things in email that I really need to be communicating in person, and what I find is my reason for sending them an email is because it's quick and efficient, and what I find is it's not. It actually intensifies the situation many a times, and it leads to a longer chain and eventually a phone call or a face-to-face. And if had I done that step one, I would have eliminated a lot of time. So when I'm thinking I'm saving time, I'm really not. And I have to get that out of my mind, that certain things with like asynchronous is not a time saver, but it's actually a time waster.
Nice. So for the broader team, synchronous being, we're having a conversation, I'm sitting at your desk waiting for you to answer my question, right? Asynchronous being, I shot it off in an email, he'll get to it when he gets to it, and when he gets to it, I'll have my response, but I don't need it immediately. I don't need to have a discussion back and forth. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So
one of the things that I would encourage you guys to do is share this concept with your teams as a baby step towards
getting them to understand what really requires discussion and what really could just actually be an email back to me when I get to it in my block. Again, not the magic bullet, but it's a step. And within the attention management module, there's a lot more kind of on asynchronous or synchronous, different formats, times, et cetera. I encourage you guys to revisit that section because I think it has implications for at least the guys who are dealing with the open air environment. So next kind of topic is post the advanced execution workshop, what are you guys noticing about sort of your attention to the materials, et cetera? The subject matter that we've been covering. Are you guys on it? Are you looking at it every day? Are you thinking about it every day? Or is it sort of you're spacing it out? And there's a broader point to be made here.
My personal take, I wish we had actually done a meeting a week after we did the initial, because it was fresh in my mind. So you have a two-week lag for this class. So I'm going to be honest. The first week, I didn't touch a whole lot. I've been in scramble mode the last 3 days with everything else, just trying to catch up on what I do. And I'm sitting here looking at my advanced execution program and looking at my check marks, and I have three, but I'm sitting here realizing I need to have about five or six. So in hindsight, I wish we hadn't had the break of a week.
Interesting. Okay. It's good to note. Anybody else?
I think what it does, this is Peter. I think what it does is just it makes you more aware of what's going on, like how I discussed earlier in my weekly and daily meetings. You know, we're usually on time with them, but I didn't recognize before how many distractions we really had, and now that we're in the program, I'm much more conscious of these things, and I can make the switch. So that's one thing that I think is useful. You're much more conscious with this material.
Yep.
I don't know. It's Brandy. I don't know if I could have brought this up earlier, but it did make me really think about it. When Eric brought up the fact that I can close a door, I did not realize until we were talking about structural meetings and versus ad hoc, how many, because I have an office where someone can come in and close the door, and how many ad hoc meetings I end up with. You know, as whether it's a place for someone to escape from upstairs for a minute, or they were walking by in the hall and they remember they want to tell me something. And I've actually been closing my door more to try and prevent how 10 of those a day, you know. Because I think my office is kind of all by itself, and, you know, it's not that someone doesn't have something to talk to me about, but it could definitely be put off, you know, for a more structured environment when I'm more prepared for it, et cetera. But it's also that, you know, I mean, I don't want to complain about it because I also don't get much socialization unless I go upstairs. So it's kind of nice that someone comes by, but how many ad hoc or if the ideas that were discussed in these little ad hoc meetings were in a more structured environment, how much more productive they could be or that they would be used, but I don't capture everything from them because they're not in a structured environment, you know? It just becomes kind of more stuff that piles up. And so if I could somehow find a way to put some of these unstructured meetings into a structured environment, I think that I could do something, you know, with the conversation.
Interesting. So what are some ideas that you could have to help focus it? Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
One thing I was going to do is for this. Will get and they'll comfortable on you and they'll see and how you react to that as, you know, will encourage them not only to come back but to tell others, oh, Brandy's the person to get with. And so your response can actually create a self-fulfilling prophecy where these more and more people start to come to you with certain issues when they really should be going to other people and the organization. So you have to be a little careful of that. And then if there are issues that, you know, such as customer experience where they want to address, you may want to set some boundaries up where, say, if you have questions about the website or customer experience, you know, here's some times that I'm available, and post those on your door and say, get with me between these times. And that way they, you know, during these times of the day, I can get with Randy, and then maybe also educate when they come to you and say, hey, I've got this issue. And you can educate them and say, well, that's really an issue you need to be talking with Eric about. And that's probably an issue you need to be talking with Ramon about. And because they're better equipped. So I think those two things will help reduce a lot of those interruptions.
I definitely try and send them, you know, to the right person, but you're right in that I had to already listen to it first, you know. So.
Yeah. You know, part of the ad hoc nature of it could just be they know you're going to take it to this point, and they know you're going to listen. So you may want to continue to, again, whittle it down. Even posting other structural meetings that most likely pop up for you, or meetings that you think you can actually help channel a lot of these things to. So what, part one is the observation, right? And we're going to get into this next week, so I'm glad you brought it up. Next week's topic is clearing the space and working as a team kind of effectively. And it's really going to focus down in on the structural meetings component, how they're structured, what the difference is. I think there's a very big difference for you guys in terms of huddles and how those operate versus maybe any of the other meetings you have, et cetera. So what I'd like you to do, Brandy, is just over the next 2 weeks before our next teleclass, just write down the nature of the ad hoc meeting and what structural meeting it could have gone into. See if there's a pattern on what kind of continue to recur for you, so you can then start to actually channel a lot of that into other places.
I think that's a great idea.
Start with the observation. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, guys, we're in our last 3 minutes of the call, and I want to just give an open sort of mic to anybody who has any major takeaways, anything you kind of got from this call or even from the last week of working with the material.
This is Aaron. I think for me, just the awareness that I see something that is not just something that I perceive I'm dealing with, but definitely is a cultural issue as far as some of the distractions and interruptions we face. The good news to me in that is that I feel like I've got a few practices I can leave this with, as far as setting some of those time blocks, but also educating our environment. I like the idea of journaling where those interruptions are happening so that I become a little bit more aware of exactly what issues those commonly are, and finding a better way systematically of dealing with those. I think is a really strong idea that will help me.
Nice. Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Ramon. A good takeaway, after reading the attention management model, I realized that I accept the fact that I've been living in the reactive zone and would love to transition quickly to the proactive zone, and I realize that takes time. One of the things that I've been working on personally is walking away from the electronic distractions. It's been helpful because it allows me to focus more with my team and on my team and my own personal efficiency. I got that in part of the reading, and I found that it's been very hard. It's a weird and strange feeling, but I've been working on doing it. So a lot of
nice
recovery in it.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to helping you get into the proactive zone to the extent that we can.
Anybody else? Okay, well...
Hey, Rupe, it's Steve.
Yeah.
One question. On structural meetings, Jeff sent out a list of all our structural meetings, so over the next week or so as we start to work on those, the question I had is, are daily huddles also structured meetings?
Yes.
Okay.
They are. Yeah, because they're scheduled. Everyone knows when they are. They know that if there's an issue that needs to go into them, they could wait if they wanted to bring them up in the huddle. It's where people get a set agenda of things that they need to pay attention to for the day. So I would say yes.
Okay. And then anything we need to be doing between now and next week's coaching call, obviously we'll read the we've got some stuff on the personal productivity that we'll do, and everybody needs to read the attention management module. But is there anything else in between now and next Wednesday that we should bring to the call for the group, just so we're on
page? Yeah, so what I would suggest is mostly observation of how things are going now, right? You guys do a great job of jumping into the material, which has been phenomenal. Take the time to really start to observe how these meetings are running for you in a deeper level, because while the first tendency is let's go change everything, I think just having a very strong observation set of what's happening now will help you guys tune a lot of these structural meetings into something that is perhaps impactful in the same amount of time, more impactful in the same amount of time, if that makes sense. So keep observation of the actual things that you guys are doing. It's going to feel a little slow, I'll be honest with you. For the first quarter, you guys are going to feel like, why are Jay and Ruth constantly going over the same things over and over and over again? I assure you that by the end of Q1, that will be the last time you ever say that for this class, because it gets fast and hurry. So embrace it. Make sure you get the basics down, right? If you haven't already set up your Outlook folders, set them up. If you need to tweak them, tweak them. If you haven't set up your weekly focus, make sure you set it up and find a way to get the space, even if it means doing some of it on a Sunday afternoon, or I know weekends are busy for you guys, but maybe it's a Monday or whatever the slowest day is. And then, making sure that the structural meetings you guys are in, if they run long, just take note of it and start to ask why. Why is it taking longer than it should? Why do I feel like I shouldn't be in this meeting or I should be in this meeting, et cetera? Bring that to the table with Jay, because today we'll start to dive a little bit deeper into some of these issues that I've noted here. And then on the follow-up call 2 weeks from now, we're going to go into the much kind of tighter mechanics of the structural meeting.
Good.
All right, guys. Well, that's our first call. Next call will be in 2 weeks, which I believe is the 18th. I'll send out a reminder email well in advance. You guys have a coaching call with Jay next week. I believe he'll be doing it live, but I'll follow up with him to make sure.
Sounds good.
Thank you guys for the participation. Keep it up. Make sure you post anything that comes to mind on e-journal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Take care.
Remember what the we is.
Is that safe?